Taiwan is the land of a million scooters. Everyone gets around on, via scooter for the most part, and it was quite a trip. After being married to my wife, who's obviously from Taiwan, for 25 years, I never made the chance, or never had the chance or opportunity to visit Taiwan, and it was quite touching. We had hospitality with the different states, people that we had never met, and in our case, with people that had never met Americans, never met them, and never had them in their home. And it was very interesting. The people that you find, their hearts are pure. The one couple, actually it was a family, the couple have been married for less than a month. And they live with the husband's family. Don't ask me the name of the town, so I couldn't pronounce it even if I did remember.
Tianwei.
That's right. Yeah. But the brother had, you would talk to him, he had only been in the church life, they'd been married less than a month, he had been in the church life less than a year, and you would have thought he had been in the church life for 30-some years, the way he spoke and his spirit and all. And his parents also had just recently joined, they joined the church life with him at the same time. And the sister that he married, she was teaching. She taught English in China as a contractor. And when I was talking to her, I said, "Well, why did you choose that? Why do that?" She said, "Well, it gives me the opportunity to preach the gospel, to meet more young people, and to travel and to." Have more chance of bringing people into the church life. But we would go to local meeting halls, and we'd be there at 7 o'clock, and the meeting hall, there were smaller meeting halls, but in Taiwan there are many. It seemed like almost every other block there was a meeting hall. But all the saints would come, and everybody's bringing dishes, and from the elder brothers and sisters to the young people, everybody came, couldn't do enough, for the visiting saints. And then the conference itself, there were over 20,000 people. You can imagine 20,000 people in one room. It was, again, quite moving. One of the things that they, the main topic that I got out of it, and traveling with the saints from California was one body. Now we're all just one body. And the saints that I was traveling with in California, having blending with them was just as enriching as meeting the saints in Taiwan. Because you don't see, for the most part, I've never seen saints outside of New Jersey that often. And, they were Spanish saints and Chinese saints, and so again, everyone from different backgrounds and all, but again, all come together and being one body and recognizing that. And one of the brothers that shared during the conference, he says, "Excuse me, I have a lot of young people come up to me." This is one of the main things that we all pull something out of conferences or meetings that we remember and sort of stick with you. And he goes, "I have a lot of young people come up to me and they go, brother, how do I attain balance in my life? I have work, I have family, wife, children, all these demands. How do you get balance out of that? You're always getting pulled in different directions." And simple answer to this. So as long as you have Christ as your center, you will always be you know, your life will always be centered. You always have to balance, which, you know, I know for the young people, it may be hard to understand now at this point in your life, but you'll see that as, you know, as time goes by and you have different demands and what you think are goals, things you want to attain and be and all that, you'll realize, you know, for some of us it takes longer than others, that these things are nothing. You know, they don't really mean anything. And one day the light bulb goes on and, you know, you go, wow, you know, that is so true. So, anyway, amen. And the one thing that I got most out of this was all the songs and the hymns and everything. And I don't even remember where I was when I recorded this, but maybe some of the saints from that have lived in Taiwan would probably recognize this. And ever since I've come back, it's in my head every day. Let's see if anyone can recognize this.
Lord's Day meeting, and the saints who made love beads for us, but that's not the best part. The best part was you saw how these saints, I mean, they, to them it's just so normal. They came to the meeting hall and they ushered us to the meeting place. And they have like four levels. And we all sat down and we sang. And then they said, oh, by the way, we just had a young people blending. So the young people just went up and they just shared. They all shared their portion that they were touched, just like after we had our young people conference or summer school truth. So all the young people went up and shared. And then, this is after the Lord's table. And during the Lord's table meeting, after the bread was blessed, after the brothers, blessed the bread and broke the bread, the young people came up. They passed the bread around. And the children, they came up to collect all the cups. And they did it, like, so spontaneously. It's like they do this, I mean, I believe they do this all the time. And we were just sitting there. We're like, wow. And it's just so orderly, and then they were so happy. And you just see, you know, from the oldest one to the youngest one, they just coordinated together so beautifully. And anyway, it was just wonderful. And then, after the Lord's Table meeting, we had the prophesying, because the young people shared. And then after children say, oh, we children can hear from him, so we want to say to our guests too. So they took up some time. And then, so the brothers say, oh, because we didn't give our guests enough time. So after the love feast, we're gonna go to another brothers and sisters' house for more blending. And we're like, oh, how are we gonna get there? They said, oh, you walk. And it's so close, 10 minutes. And we were very happy that we got a chance to walk because we ate too much during lunch. And it was huge love feast. But by the time we got there, snacks, desserts, bread on the table in their yard. You know, it's a big yard. It's a kind of a rural farmer's, setting. And the young people already made it there earlier. They were playing basketball, shooting hoops. And a brother brought his cart that with propane gas and a little soap so he can make his specialty tea for us. And he just rolled it in. Anyway, I mean, they're just like, it's just their life. It's just so incorporated. They're so easy to go, okay, now we can have more spirit. We want to hear more from you guys. And we were just, we want to stay here forever. It's just so wonderful, and it's just a small locality, but at least the supply is so rich, and the saints were just like Brother R said, saints were so full of joy, and they're so happy to receive us, and you see how the body just functions, and there are no really, I don't see anybody like, oh yeah, you do this, you do that, everybody just functions so naturally, and so spontaneously, so easily. It's just wonderful to see that.
Amen.
Saints, you should all go. I mean, we should all pray to the Lord that we would have a chance to go. This type of conference is once every 3 years. So we can start praying.
I just wanted to share something. I wasn't at the conference, but I just remember, since we're talking about Taiwan, when I was there for a whole year, I remember at first they didn't even know I could speak Chinese, so they didn't really talk to me. But then once they found out, and when they got to know me, it was like every single weekend, they ended up having like a schedule of a rotation. Of where, and this is one hall, it's hall 14. The saints had a schedule of like whose house I would stay at for the weekend, even though my house was like 20 minutes away by subway. And I just remembered it was like so, like, you know, it's like nice to get to just blend with the saints, kind of like, you know, Sister was sharing, Brother was sharing. It's like a living for them, it's like a life, you know, and I think the pattern for us. For us to just, you know, get out of our comfort zone, because then it becomes just becomes natural, right? It just becomes spontaneous. And you just fellowship with one another, just put Christ to one another. And, you know, it's just echoing the saints, I think. It's really a good opportunity to just go and work with the saints, even though, I mean, there's translation and stuff if language is an issue, but.
Because Jehovah exists eternally, and because he is the reality of the world to be, he will fulfill whatever he has spoken. When you come to tests, trials, and difficulties, you can say, Lord, you are. My problem will end, but you, Lord, will be forever.
Amen.
Not for something. Do not be troubled by any opposition to the Lord's recovery, and do not be discouraged when religion rises against us. Today's Pharaoh is struggle, resist, and cause delay. But ultimately, he cannot prevail against the Lord. He is recovery, for we have the Lord's name and his covenant.
Amen.
We are not engaged in an ordinary Christian work. The goal of the Lord's recovery is to build up the church according to God's name and his covenant. Remember, the Lord has been uplifted to the cross and to the throne. He is now on the throne as the sure sight. His covenant has been endorsed. And Jehovah, the Savior, the Great I Am, he will fulfill his covenant and bring us into the good land.
Amen.
What the Christ has reached.
Amen.
He is everything we need. He's so satisfied.
Yeah.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
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 I meet a lot of I meet a lot of couples in my workplace. And like November, human where I remind me that, you know, like you said about the balance your life. And then they always come and I always share with them and tell them this. The only way my family or marriage survive is if I go put Jesus at the center of my life. That was the only way we had to survive. You know? There are many, you know, this is one of the countries that has more divorces than any other. And that's because we don't put Jesus at the center of our
life.
This is one thing, but sometimes, you know, we struggle, you know, when we're married, but I was a very temperamental person. I would not have the patience at all. Not patient at all. I didn't want to desperate for everything. Everything has to be fast, you gotta move. And only the Lord is the one that changed my life. So when I accept her, you know. Remember yesterday a lady called me and she had fun with her partner and said, I think women should, you know, have the control because the house and this and that because we are the one that goes to church and pray. So you gotta pray for your husband so your husband can be touched by the Lord, and you'll be happy. You know, because there was a time woman had to have the control now. But you know, and the scripture says that I'm a liberal woman, if you pray, the Lord will touch the husband. If I'm a liberal woman, right? If I'm a liberal woman, we pray to touch the mind of the husband. She prayed for me, and the Lord came and touched me. Now, and the Lord came and touched me. See, sometimes we have families, our parents or somebody. I think everybody here has a, everybody has a disabled family. But we have to pray then for those families whose kids are suffering, or we have a lot of classmates, right, brothers, school. We have to pray for them, really, honestly. So, you know, because like my daughter says that, we always say that we must cooperate, right? But my daughter says to me, And you have to believe that if you pray for that family, the Lord is going to do it. Because that family, nobody might know the Lord, but if you pray for that family, you know, the Lord can touch anybody in the family. And if you preach the gospel, I will say my kids talk about the Lord. Sometimes we want to hide. I remember what my wife used to tell me when they were young, they used to hide the Bible. You know? They never bring it this way, they bring it the other way. So nobody can see that you have the Bible with you, right? That's when we like to say, the Lord said, will deny me, I will deny him with my father. You know? That's one thing we have to do. We can't hide from it. You have to. We are unique people, really. You might be happy that we have a father. We have a father we can talk to. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
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 She wanted you to move out, but it's you know. Amen. So this week's morning revival, I think it's a good reminder. Reminder. I think we've been really hitting that thorn bush really hard these last few weeks. I think we're thoroughly understand what the thorn bush is and what it represents. So I really appreciated the progression in this week's outline for the message for the corporate thorn bush. I think in our whole meetings, I think it's also been kind of this is a realization that we're realizing that we want to have this corporate atmosphere, to have these relationships with each other. You know, this is how we gain this corporate thorn bush. We don't gain a corporate thorn bush just by reading this outline and knowing the doctrine of the ministry. We know it by actually practicing it. So in the, Roman numeral 1, it kind of touches. Roman numeral 1 kind of touches this this matter and kind of painting the picture first here in Genesis chapter 3 and Exodus 3. So in Genesis 3, right, we have Adam and Eve, and they already fell. They already partook of the wrong tree. And then what did the Lord? What did Jehovah do? He put the cherubim, right, and they had these flames of fire. And that now you're no longer allowed to partake of the tree of life because man fell. So that's the horrible situation in Genesis 3. So you just end there. It's a sad story. We're doomed forever. We'd be going to hell. But guess what? We have Exodus 3.
Yeah.
And now this fire is no longer just a fire that keeps us away from God, but actually this is a fire dwelling within us, within this thorn bush. Or upon the thorn bush, sorry. And also in us. But it's wonderful to see the contrast from Genesis 3 to Exodus 3. It's no longer a pitiful situation, but actually now we see this is wonderful. We have this divine flame that's here. And so I remember in the training when I was listening to it live, I was like, wow, what a thing to see. We're so blessed to have the ministry. I mean, I've read these, you know, many of times, and I don't make these connections. And actually, it reminded me, last night we had a college student from Boston Cider House, and he was just appreciating how much the recovery version makes these connections for us. You know, he said he's read the King James Version a lot, but when he was introduced to the recovery version, he said, wow, it's so awesome, especially the little references on the side. A lot of times we forget about these side references. We know the footnotes because they're in our face with all these little numbers on the side. These numbers are awesome. These numbers, if you really... You can go to 1 Corinthians 15:45, and then we can like go on a journey from there, a journey throughout the Bible, because these verse references just connect the whole Bible, and it's awesome. So I was just appreciating here this connection that we have in Genesis in Exodus. And also, in this week's outline, we see that this, to get to this corporate dorm bus, there's actually a process going on. It's not something that happens overnight, just like in our home meeting. You know, if we want these relationships, it doesn't happen overnight. This doesn't happen. I invite somebody over, have some coffee, and then, wow, we're, like, super connected. We know each other. We're, like, ready to, like, you know, share, like, our kids' names or something. It doesn't happen like that. It happens, and it happens in a slow process. So this is how the Lord is going to accomplish His dwelling place. So we see in this week, right, the, Roman numeral 2, God's ultimate goal is to obtain a dwelling place. This means that God's eternal purpose is to build up His habitation. So we see that the thorn bush really is just a symbol. We also see that the tabernacle and the ark are all just symbols of what God is really after. In the Old Testament, we have these pictures. I think we've all heard a lot of times, you know, like, a picture is worth a thousand words. So these pictures are very useful to kind of put ingrain in our head what the Lord is really after. But hallelujah, we're in the New Testament age. Now we're in the reality of what God is really after. You know, Paul saw the reality of what these symbols meant in the Old Testament when he was called, right? He sees, and now we see, that this divine flame is burning within the saints.
Amen.
And burning upon the saints, right? Even says that He cast fire upon.
Amen.
And hallelujah, we're in this. We're in this in reality today.
Amen.
It's so wonderful. We don't just have the types, but we have the reality today. And it brought us some good, but also some good examples, right, of the ark, which was made out of acacia wood and overlaid with gold. And then we also have the embroidered, right? The embroidered work together.
Amen.
And so we see this is the transforming process, right? We're getting mingled with God.
Amen.
Amen. And then we come to, well, I kind of have already mentioned, right, that now that in G, we see Moses was called by God and saw the holy fire burning within the thorn bush. But Paul was called and saw the same vision and principle. So we spoke about that already a little bit. And then day 4, Roman numeral 3, we see this indwelling flame, right? We see that this flame is no longer just upon, but actually indwelling us.
Amen.
And this is something that's awesome. We can share this with one another.
Amen.
And this is something that we actually need to catch each other on flame.
Amen.
That is a big corporate thorn bush.
Amen.
When I'm here and then I catch him on fire, and then he catches him on fire, and then you catch on fire. God, this big fire so big, it just jumps over there. This is how we get this big corporate thorn bush, is that we catch each other on fire.
Amen.
Actually, Boston, you know, they actually had a, there's all kinds of stories this week that relate to the Mormon Bible. There was a big corporate thorn bush, really. Big fire, not a thorn bush, but in Boston, a brother has a farm property. So he actually has a permit, so he's allowed to make this 3-story fire. So yeah, so they had a 3-story fire. And even, it was just, I was like, hey man, this is a big fire. We need to be burning like that. And I was encouraged. It was pretty intense. They showed me it's an enormous fire. And then we, you know, get to the end of the week. So it's all good to hear about these things, and we kind of see this as, you know, it becomes doctrine to us. But actually, in the very end, I was encouraged. There's some practical ways to do this, right? How do we carry this out? It says, by preaching Christ to sinners, by ministering life to the saints, and building up the church with the experiences of the process and trying God.
Amen.
So the way we gain this is by talking to the guy at the gas station, the person at the grocery checker, by talking to people when you're doing your driving school, right?
Amen.
I always hear your stories. He's always preaching the gospel to Muslims and wives and Hindus and all sorts of experiences, right? This is how we practically do it.
Amen.
This is how it's carried out. It's not carried out by ourselves just reading this and just keeping this all for ourselves. It's carried out by us overflowing to others. And ministering life to the saints. this is another time that's carried out. You know, when I get to hear Brother Benjamin's portion, and I get to hear Christina's portion, right? This is how it is. So hopefully you've read this week. If you haven't, start reading now really quickly. It can always present something. But this is how this is practically carried out in the church life, right? And then our experiences, our daily experiences of just good old life. Life has full of experiences, good and bad. And so I was just encouraged that there's a way to carry this out practically to make this applicable to our daily life. So may we really continue to have this vision of what the Lord is really after. He's after a dwelling place. The Lord really needs a place to dwell in. And this is us individually, but also us corporately. And ultimately, right, this will be the new Jerusalem. This is the end of the progression, right, that is mentioned here. So may we continue just to share and overflow in this meeting. Amen.
This type of the Old Testament is really very touching about the thorn bush.
Amen.
I never thought about all this until I started reading the outline, read the whole thing. And remind me about the Spirit. Remember when the Lord resurrected? I know all you all know about this. The Spirit has two aspects, right? The aspect of life and the aspect of power. Now, remind me this about the thorn bush. When the Lord resurrected and came to the disciples and he breathed on them, that was the Spirit of life. Right? But they were afraid. The sign when they received the Spirit of life, they lost fear, right? They received that fire, right? You can say, Spirit of life. And then the day of Pentecost, when they all were gathered, they received the Spirit of power, given power and authority to the church over the enemy, right? To build the church.
Yes.
And this is what reminds me, I relate this to the thorn bush. He said that Moses was like a thorn bush, right? Burning with the triune God. See, when we receive the Lord enters into us, right? And then we're like a thorn bush. And individually we start burning, right? That will happen to me in my experience. I start burning. Whenever something goes wrong, and whenever I'm going to get upset, whenever I'm going to do wrong, I'm going to sin or something, that fire is burning inside of me. Say, can't do that. He's the one that controls our lives. We're like a thorn bush. And this fire, this burning fire, control it. Control me at least for my experience. Right? But now we come to what it is, the spirit of power, which is corporate thorn bush now. Now we all thorn bushes here now. And this corporate thorn bush is burning, right? Burning for us to see more of the Lord. That's why I come here, because if I don't come here, my vessel would be empty. I won't start my week, with so many attacks of the enemy, so many people coming with problems. All my students having problems, they all having this and that, and I have to have patience. Oh my Lord. Sometimes my drivers, my students tell me, how do you have patience to do this? I say, I don't. I say, how? I'm using the Lord's patience. My patience has gone a long time ago, right? So it's kind of funny looking at it, and then that's a way to talk to them. Now I look for something to do. But it is, this thorn bush is burning now. This fire is burning inside of us to be together, right? To be built up together. As the glorious church for the body of Christ to be of the overcomers and so that you knew Jerusalem. Oh Lord, so merciful with us.
Amen.
So much mercy with us. Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you. Father Neil last week. I heard you guys in the 12 room. Sounds all right?
Yeah.
It is? Good. I'll give him a hard time tonight.
Seems like too much to share. Brother John just shared. I'm really touched. I'm really, really appreciate the ministry for Genesis 3 and Exodus 3 together.
Yeah.
First of all, you see the contrast, and then you can see how our God is so wonderful and wise. By Genesis 3, it's like all his plan were failed, like done, gone, and no hope. But praise the Lord, he is Jehovah, the I Am.
Amen.
And he's the one who said, okay, fine, yeah, right. The people, like the men I created, failed. But I never failed. And then he, prepared the redemption for us. So we are those redeemed thornbush. So now we can have the triune God burning in us. And also, this gives us such a, you see that God can do everything. He is capable of raising fallen sinners to be his dwelling place. So who are we? How can we say, oh, there's no hope, or church, Brother Lee said that we need to learn to see the church as how God sees us. Although, we look outwardly, we're just a bunch of thornbush, good for nothing. Good for nothing. Actually, but to be burned. People used to burn those, thorn bushes. They're really good for nothing. But, right? But this burning, this divine burning is the whole different story from the other burning. Because the divine burning is actually burning God's divine essence into us. That burning will transform us. And that burning will make us into his dwelling place, a corporate dwelling place. And what's our destiny? We will be expressing his glory. God will be burned into us, and that burning will gain us to be and build us up to be his dwelling place. So from outwardly, we probably, if we look at each other, we look at ourselves, we probably think, we don't find much good. But we gotta have the same faith our Lord has. When Balaam was hired to curse the Israelites, God wouldn't allow him. Because in God's eyes, he didn't see any iniquities from his people. Even though they failed, they rebelled, they complained, they murmured, they did all kinds of negative things. But it's like our God was blind. He was blind. He didn't see any of those. He saw them beautiful. He saw them, wonderful. Like, wow, their tents are so beautiful. Sometimes you would think, what would God see? Well, he would see, God would see what is going to happen. What is going to be in the end. When he accomplished his whole work, work. So we need to take our God's view.
Amen.
And when we come to the church life, when we have fellowship, when we gotta stay positive. Brother Lee said, if you proclaim that we are in resurrection, then we are in resurrection. If we say, we're in flesh, we're a whole bunch of flesh, get me again, we will be in flesh. But it really up to how we prophesy. So our prophesy is according to our vision. If we see that God is burning in us, and we will be his dwelling place, and we'll see ourselves as how God sees us. It's so full of hope and so full of glory. So in the church life, this is what we need to be. We should, just like Brother shared, we need to flame
eat the fire with each other, you know, burn everybody, burn everyone, debug burning, because, you know, it's much harder to burn by yourself, you know. If you're burning with a bunch of, you know, it would be much easier to stay burning and stay hot. So, and encouraging each other.
Amen.
Instead of saying negative things, we need to just say, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Because He will accomplish what He, you know, planned to.
Amen. See, I'm studying right now C-sharp, right? It's a language. Right? And I always, when I share the Bible with some of my students, They look at some things. Finally, they look at some things. They, when I share to them, right, some big things, some of them are very small. And they say, like, wow. And then I say, yes, the Lord is a computer program. He has programmed this, all these things in the scripture. You know, but when I do something, because some of them is still computer science and all this. See, when you program something, you're writing code, and it doesn't compile, because of an error or syntax or whatever, you have to find the error. What is the error in this code, right? But the Lord has found a code in this program that He had created for the whole universe, for this mystery, that there is no error. He has created, put a code in this program that if we fail or the church fails or somebody fails, He will automatically get it. We are human. We have to find an error, fix the code. What's wrong with this? No, the Bible is like a program. Like a program that the Lord has fixed so we can see everything in the Old Testament from the New Testament. And we can relate. It's amazing. It's like deeper pieces. You go deeper. Some kind of like, I always believe the Lord used all these things to build the whole universe. Right? We only find it now, we only discovering all this math and science and physics and all the things. The Lord used all this to create a whole universe. Right? This is a computer program, the best program in the world. You know, and when I tell this to my students, they're like, you're right, wow. It's amazing, it's amazing. You know, sometimes we think, you know, it's difficult to understand, but people say it's difficult to understand the Bible. A lot of my students come and I don't read it because it's so complicated, difficult. No, it's not difficult. Like a brother said once, when his brother New York told me, the Bible is not easy, but at the same time, it's not difficult. It needs revelation. If there is no revelation, you're not going to see anything. And in order for revelation to be, we need to humble to the Lord. We need to really humble. Then the Lord will reveal us.
Amen.
But we live in the most righteous generation. This is the most prideful generation we're living right now. That's why I separate them from the Lord. Like I said once, it's easy not to sin, but to be humble.
I really appreciate the ministry to help us to know Him better so that we can love Him more and understand His purpose for the whole of salvation. Thinking about the countries, you know, opening up, seeing, you know, how blessed we are, you know, the ministry helps us to connect the Old Testament with the New Testament. You know, Old Testament is a lot of but in the New Testament, actually, it's a lot of reality fulfilled. So if without all these problems, we would never have this great
meeting.
On this Tuesday night, that Tuesday night, I went after picking up to go for the Brother Youth conference in the car. I was telling people with her, I said, you know, I was really, you know, amazed by Moses' vision, okay? 40 years ago, he saw the burning bush, right? The burned the dumb bush. 40 years later, that vision still enough to help him and that, that vision never go away.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing, Paul. When the Paul revealed to him his inner economy, his inner the heart desire, that thing never gave away. Even the Paul's a lot of his nobility, he didn't really mention about his experience of the mistreatment, right? The tribulation, all the kind of things. But he keeps telling all his, the disciples,
the believers that facing the mystery, asking the revealed to me, which in many generations never shown to many people, but now made known to me.
Yeah.
But the same thing I really appreciate. And I want to have this kind of prayer. Lord, I really wanted to have this vision that also can hold me all the way through my life.
Yeah.
There's many times that we are very very weak. Yeah, really not seeing the vision. The vision is straight away. It's like a different root set. You know, the way God sees the church and it's totally different than how we see it.
Mm-hmm.
We measure by our human thing, but there's a divinity in there.
Mm-hmm.
We can really be fed on day by day by getting to know Him more, to enjoy Him more, to enjoy Him more. So then we will have the same vision, the same thing that He sees.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Just want to share something real quick on that. I really appreciate it. Me and Carolyn actually were enjoying that this week. Because you know we're thorn bushes, and thorns don't feel good. And as saints, we all have thorns, and I think Carolyn and I, we're easily, we can like feed off each other's complaining. Oh, this. You know, but if we didn't see this vision, it would be so easy to leave the church by. It's like, oh man, that person, can't stand that person, and oh, I can't stand this in the church side, you know, all sorts of things. But we're appreciating it. Really, the only reason we're here is because we see something.
Yeah.
You know, it's not an ideal situation always, and wherever we are, I mean, no matter what church side you are, You can think you can move to, you know, this other locality. Oh, you'll think it's glorious, but there'll be some problems that you'll hate and you'll be upset and you'll think, oh my gosh, you're complaining to the children of Israel. But really, this vision that really keeps us.
Amen.
Keeps us, protects us.
Amen.
Even when we have these poking thorns coming up and poking each other.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
From Boston, they gave us a plan. They find a plan. So then I told her that it's five. And this week I was very touched that, you know, the difference between Genesis 3 and Exodus 3. So in Genesis 3, because our fallen nature, right? So we are recorded from the from God, the tree of life. But in Exodus 3, this fire actually came to visit us, dwell with us.
Yes.
And I think that is really amazing. This you know, this week when I reviewed, you know, the how we were saved, I really praise the Lord. And, you know, I just think that, you know, oftentimes I tell people, you know, before I was saved, I was like in a trash can, you know. But then God saved us. God actually, you know, picked me up from the trash can. So I think that's really amazing. But then I think the problem is that I think this week, I think the key word is corporate. I think I love the Lord. The Lord loves me. That is no problem at all. But then you tell me this person, you know, he also or she also deals with me with the Lord. That is terrible. You know, sometimes, especially in the church service, I still remember before I actually shared with Kyle this week. I said before, you know, I serve children. There was one time I told Caleb, I said, you know, for sixth graders, there are only like two or three people. One person should be enough. Okay, just each time you know that we are short of serving ones. Okay, so you know, just for each Christ, just one person. And he told me, no, sister, you need to have two. And I said, that is a waste. You know, and also, you know, sometimes you serve by yourself. So relax. You know, you don't have to take care of the other one, and then you can, you know, you can say whatever you want. But it is an understanding one. You know, you call, and you do this, you do that, and then, you know, the aside portion is this and that. You just make this so complicated. But then, that is God's way. So, you know, it's just like Luke share, and also I think I circle that. Day 5. God believes this, and we need to agree with him.
Amen.
So the problem is that it is so hard for us to agree with the Lord. But may the Lord have mercy on us. I think that, you know, this message is just straightforward. We just need to turn ourselves
Amen.
To him so that we can serve his resurrection. We can live his resurrection.
Amen. Amen.
I was touched in day 2. Especially reminded of the picture of the tabernacle, the panels of the tabernacle that, even though they were made of acacia wood, which just signifies the humanity, they were all overlaid with gold, right? And I think that's a picture, kind of what everybody's been sharing about the thorn bush. You know, yeah, individually we're a singular thorn bush, but when we need the transformation, to be able to be built up with one another. And, you know, when you think of the tabernacle, like what the pieces that are, there's two pieces touching, but what's actually the part that's touching is the gold, right? It's the Lord. So in ourselves, you know, we may have our different personalities, we may have our different whatever, you know, but actually, what we need to be really built up with one another is to be transformed and to express so that the Lord is the one that we're expressing.
Amen.
Just reminded, you know, on Friday, one of the students asked, like, because we're talking about loving one another, right? And he asked, well, how do you know if it's our love or if it's the Lord's love? You know, it's a good question. I mean, because they both love, but what's the difference between the two, right? And then Carolyn actually shared the definition of love from the Bible, you know, in 1 Corinthians, and, you know, it's like, if we were really honest, like, if in our own, I mean, I'm not even saying if we were honest, like, in our own selves, we can't measure up to that kind of love, only the Lord can, right? So it really takes a lot of dealing, like Moses, you know, he went through a lot of dealing, even though he had training from before, he had to be dealt with.
Amen.
To be fully useful for the Lord in order to be called by the Lord. And in this day too, it says God's ultimate goal is to obtain a dwelling place. This means that God's eternal purpose is to build up his habitation. So I just reminded that, you know, even his dwelling place is not just individual dwelling places. Yeah, like we do have, we should have a spirit to contact the Lord, but really we need one another, right? Like Sister King was saying, like how come in service sometimes it's like, well, if I do it, it'll be much faster. If I do it, it'll be more efficient. I mean, in a sense, that's possible, but that's not necessarily what the Lord is after. It's not for us to be quote-unquote comfortable. Like, you know, even everybody he places around us, there's a reason for that.
Yes.
Right? And yesterday with the young people, we were going over Psalm 23, verse 6 says, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Jehovah.
Amen.
For the length of my days.
Amen.
And, you know, I asked the young people, I said, well, what does this verse mean by dwelling in the house of Jehovah? So we talked a little bit about that, and talked about how, you know, it's not even something we necessarily do, but it's just us enjoying the Lord, us being willing to be built up with one another as a corporate thorn bush with the Lord as a source, but we as presenting ourselves to become a dwelling place for the Lord.
Amen.
As much as we need the Lord as our dwelling place, he needs us as his dwelling place as well.
Amen.
I think I enjoy all of this sharing. I just feel that the message is so sweet. Because when you feel it sweet, you can actually say something bitter. And then say something sweet about that. That's wonderful. So I think, we see the tone push, and then feel that really feel it so sweet.
Amen.
We are not tone push, friendly tone push.
Amen.
And I really appreciate the name of the contract, which is Genesis 3, Genesis 3. And also appreciate the connection between the
Trying to discover why this song, what kind of plan or push was it that it keeps burning. I saw it on TV, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my goodness, oh Lord. See, because they say it has to be some kind of, they discover some kind of plan that they put fire and they say, oh, this must be the one because you have to put fire. Oh Lord, this is how the world looks at things, right? And it's not where the divine life is. For this fire, it's the fire of the Lord who keeps the burning. This is what happened to them. It's going to be always on. And Lord, this fire is burning.
Amen.
Okay, so let's start.
Wherever I first heard this message, I was really impressed by it. It's a picture of the thorn bush, where it's like the we're just like kind of the individual size thorns now. We're just thorns. Actually, we have the fire of God dwelling in us. We have this divine fire. Even though we're just thorn bushes, we're fit for just, we rolled away in the dust. But we have something so glorious in us. And it actually becomes, it becomes a tabernacle. It's like even that Moses remembered that. It was just so sweet, that picture. We were under the curse, but then we were redeemed, transformed. But actually, while I was reading this week, I read day five, and I kind of like didn't understand why I was in here. So I was like, how did they come to this part about like talking about the church, or like, how does that relate to this? It kind of has something that my experience reminded me of this. And it's our views of the church, and I'm just really appreciating it's a Lord's view towards the church. And just in general, I was really touched by Roman numeral 4. The church is a corporate dogma burning with the God of resurrection. So, like, Lord, it's like, even though we're still thorns, even though we still are thorny, we still get, like, we scratch each other, we kind of are sometimes, there's a lot of not good stuff, or, we're not perfect, we're not transformed, we're not there yet. Actually, in the Lord's eyes, like, he's not looking at that. He's looking at the goal. He's looking at the new Jerusalem. He's looking at what he's already accomplished. Our view is, like, it's so low. It is natural. It's what we have. And, we're not in the reality. We're not in the spirit. We're not enjoying the Lord. It's like that can so easily be our view. We can criticize. We can be caught up. So I'm just praising the Lord for this view. It's just like, wow, Lord, this is so awesome.
Amen.
There was no iniquity in the church.
Right.
There was nothing wrong. The church had, no blessing.
Right.
The church of, in Corinth, it was the church of God in Corinth.
Mm-hmm. Church of God.
Yeah, the called ones, the sanctified ones.
Okay.
These are the ones who have already been transformed and built up again. It's just, why? The point is that the church is in resurrection.
Amen.
So it's all the same for sure. I'm just really appreciating this. I think the first time I enjoyed all these pictures, trying God burning, and that's what it's, actually the church is in resurrection.
Amen.
The God of resurrection is the one who's dwelling in the form of the It's not another fire. It's not energy. It's not something that has to consume matter. This is God. The God of resurrection.
Amen.
It's really sweet.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I guess our sister just wanted to share something because we are all in the conference of worship. Okay, let's give you some time. Actually, before reading this message, I was praying to the Lord. Lord, why is it important for me to see the vision that we are a cooperative Songbush? Why is it not enough for us to see that individually we are in the Songbush? Why need to see the vision cooperatively we are in the Songbush? So at the end of this message, we see Songbush saw this vision. Actually, this vision, they are not two separate visions. The visions are one. When Moses saw the vision, he realized individually he was a Songbush. And corporately, the people of Israel were Songbush. So, and this vision is also connected, it's related to God's eye with God. Like Jesus said, that God's eye is going to gain the habitation.
Amen.
He wants to gain the cooperative expression.
Amen.
So I just feel like, Lord, as a individually as a Songbush, I have songs, and I can break others, and I can be freaked by others, because we are songs, we are Songbush, like I live in the brother's house. So it is not easy to get along with the brothers, because we are all songs.
Right.
Sometimes we break each other. But we have these people, we have this vision, we see that we are not merely Songbush. We have the fire burning within us.
Amen.
As Lord shares that we have the fire. Actually, the fire is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's burning within us.
Amen.
And corporately, the brothers in the brothers' house, we are one. Actually, we are one. We are all included in this cooperation bush.
Amen.
So we love one another.
Amen.
And also in the church life, that's like sisters share, that we should also function. We should function. Because Lord Adam is going to get a cooperation. And he wants to build a dwelling place. We need each other. We need to be built up.
Amen.
So, to be built up is not that on the last day or in the press meeting we just come together. It's not that thing. Actually, to be built up is to go in life.
Amen.
To spend time with the Lord.
Amen.
I enjoy it in this too. That in this, so after the Moses had been with the Lord on the mountain for 40 days, his face was shining because the flame of God's holy fire had been burned into him.
Amen.
So we should spend time with the Lord. Let the fire, we should receive the fire, let the fire burn within us.
Amen.
And later we can see that in the message of 12, we see that actually this Songbush, the call of Songbush is the kingdom of priests.
Amen.
So individually, we should spend time with the Lord, and corporately, we should be built up with others.
Amen.
We should go in life. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And I also remember that my brother said in this message, he said that if we, as Songbush, if we don't have the trying God, we are finished.
Amen.
We are mere Songbush. So we also receive the burning fire.
Amen.
Amen. Burn in us.
Amen.
And grow in life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Praise the Lord. I really enjoy that what a corporate strong bush. Like Sister Christina shared, that the love of yourself and the love of God is totally different.
Amen.
Yes, also like living in the sister house. I just gradually find out that my love is so limited.
Mm.
I can only love those who love the Lord or who, how to say, do their duty, or but I just feel like sometimes when I'm living with them, I sometimes feel like, Lord, I don't like this person, but what should I do? Just ask the Lord to grant me with his divine love.
Amen.
And I also enjoy that
in the fellowship of Andrew Youth, he mentioned about the relationship and the meeting. We like too much emphasize on the meeting, but what about the relationship? What's your relationship with Lord, and what's your relationship with one another? So I it just remind me that he mentioned about your attitude in the meeting, like your attitude toward each other is really nice, and but how about your attitude toward your parents? Oh, yeah, your how you speak with your parents and how you treat with each other. So just thank you, Lord, that shine upon me that we are corporate Zone Bush, and we build up with each other in love.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
It's corporate Thornbush.
Amen.
Oh, continue to burn in us.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Jesus.
Do not let us go.
Amen.
We don't want to remain individuals.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We really want to do a true building work.
Amen.
Oh, building these relationships with one another.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Really expose us.
Amen.
Expose our selfishness.
Amen.
Oh Lord, but in a sweet way.
Amen.
Lord, change this many bitter situations into something sweet.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
You are a sweet God.
Amen.
Yes, dear God.
Amen.
Thank you for showing us the vision.
Amen.
And control us, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And oh, Lord, to transform us day by day.
Amen.
On this vision.
Amen.
Oh, we are all co-ops to call Songbush.
Amen.
On transformation today.
Amen.
We are animals of God.
Amen.
The kingdom of the oak. The kingdom of the priest.
Amen.
The kingdom of the tabernacle.
Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, we love you.
Amen.
Just give ourselves to you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, just thank you for placing us here.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Oh, I want to be built up with one another.
Amen.
Oh, it's a corporate thorn bush.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, transform us day by day.
Amen.
Lord, bring us on further from where we are.
Amen.
Oh, just give ourselves to you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.